The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host. Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, November 10th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We are going to have ourselves a good time today, and joining us, as always, here from the virtual studio, the loquacious and pulchritudinous Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. I never know if you're insulting me or complimenting me.
No, that's totally, totally complimentary. Hey, you know, we got an interesting show today. Joining us on our LEAP segment, this is Cops Say Legalized Drugs. We do it every second and fourth Thursday, is Captain Joe Brooks, and it's his birthday today. But speaking of birthdays, I am so ashamed that I forgot to mention yesterday was Carl Sagan's 77th birthday. So happy birthday to Carl Sagan out
and
there.
And you didn't even eat apple pie yesterday. You're going to have to make up for it and eat an entire pie today.
I know. I'll have to make it from scratch. So I've got a post up at stash.normal.org that recounts his Mr. X essay where he admits to being a cannabis consumer and talks about his first time and everything. You ought to check that out. And thanks to Dr. Lester Grinspoon for that, of course. And, of course, tomorrow we won't be on the air because I will be flying to Atlanta. I do have a best of kind of clip show coming up for tomorrow. But of course, tomorrow is 11-11-11, and that means only one thing.
You know what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. 11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
That's right. So tomorrow, 11, 11, 11. I had to get that in. Well, that'll be in the replays as well tomorrow. You'll get that, of course, Spinal Tap, the legendary Spinal Tap. They're calling it Nigel Tufnel Day tomorrow. So 11, 11, 11. And for those of you who will be in Atlanta, Georgia on 11, 12, 11, I will be there from noon to 10 at the Capital Cannabis Jam.
Wow, Russ, that's too louder.
That's too louder, exactly. There's actually some amps now that go to 12. I've seen that. Out on the and there's a couple of 15s out there too. All right, but we got a bunch of show to get to you today. It's Groovin' Thursday, so John Doe Radio will be here with some music from Chewy called French Inhale. I've got a rant today. I did some more research. I'm back. I'm ready for my rant about Normal Weed Maps partnership and the people that are complaining about it. But before we get to all of that, Cannabis Curie has the hemp headlines. What's in the news today?
Well, I've squeezed a bunch in since we won't be here tomorrow. We're going to talk about some more fallout from that Kalamazoo, Michigan election. Also, a dispensary ban that was upheld in California. I want to talk to you about an important case that's going down in Las Vegas this week that could impact all the marijuana laws of the state. We're also going to go to Iowa City and tell you how much police are spending to nab marijuana users there, and a new initiative. As well. So all that coming up.
All right. We're packing it all up. We don't even have enough time to get the intros and outros back after this.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights. And in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Another decision, this time by a California judge, on whether or not cities, counties, or municipalities are allowed to ban medical marijuana businesses was handed out this week. Yesterday, the city of Riverside got their ruling about their ordinance that banned medical marijuana dispensaries from operating anywhere in the city. The Fourth District Court of Appeal ruled that the ban is allowable and not preempted by state law. Back in 2009, the city closed Inland Empire's Patients Health and Wellness Center, a nonprofit organization that collectively cultivated marijuana to distribute among their members. The city was able to close them down because it was ruled a public nuisance. Judge John D. Malloy said the center was a nuisance per se since it operated in violation of a code provision declaring distribution of medical marijuana to be a prohibited use, as well as a provision banning the use of a property for any activity that is prohibited by state or federal law. Another justice in that court said that there was nothing in Prop 215 that was passed back in 1996 that expressly or implicitly bars a city from banning the distribution of medical marijuana from business sites within the municipality. Justice Carol Cudwrighton rejected the collective's claim that banning them violated the medical marijuana program, but she said that while the law implements Prop 215, she says it also declares that a place at which controlled substances are unlawfully kept is subject to nuisance abatement, and quoted the law in where it states that patients and caregivers who associate for the purpose of cultivating medical marijuana shall not solely on the basis of that fact be subject to state criminal sanctions. She says the center was closed for zoning law violations, and that law does not immunize a facility against local zoning and business licensing laws. Now, while lawful dispensaries are protected, the justice reasoned that the local government remains free to declare dispensaries unlawful in any part or all of the city. So the city of Riverside is allowed to ban dispensaries, at least for now.
You know, you get these terms like nuisance abatement and public health hazards. And, man, it's so frustrating to hear these stories week after week after week where marijuana gets treated as if it were plutonium, as if it were a radioactive isotope threatening the decay of the entire neighborhood in which it's placed. Meanwhile, we have CVS and Rite Aid and Walgreens doling out OxyContins. We've seen a 1,500% increase in the doling out of OxyContin since they were off generic there in 1997, causing a whole bunch more damage to people and society than marijuana ever would. But nobody talks about wanting to ban or zone those out of existence. And, of course, the root of this always comes back to the fact that it's federally illegal. That one part at the very beginning of the story. They have the right to zone against, you know, anyone breaking state or federal laws. Until we end this prohibition for all people, until we take away the demonization of cannabis and those who use it, we will continue to end up in these little crazy legalistic cul-de-sacs where they can say, oh, well, you did break a zoning law, and oh, no, you broke subsection 3, paragraph 2. Nobody ever does that to people that are using other sorts of medications to treat their illnesses and ailments, and it shouldn't be the way that we are treating the least toxic, the most beneficial herb of them all, cannabis.
An important case unfolding in Las Vegas this week may have implications in the interpretation of state law when it comes to marijuana. The attorney for a medical marijuana dispensary operator that was charged with selling marijuana would like to see his client's charges dropped over a question about state laws. The case involves two defendants who were working at a medical marijuana dispensary when it was raided a few years ago by Las Vegas Metro Police. Both defendants are facing felony charges and the possibility of life in prison. Nevada Judge Donald Mosley called the state laws concerning marijuana, quote, mind-boggling while he was reviewing the case. He says that the law creates a catch-22 situation where they allow medical marijuana cardholders to possess, deliver, and produce marijuana, but additional state laws and federal laws make it illegal to buy or sell marijuana. Judge Mosley has asked the state attorney general to weigh in on the case to see if the law even makes sense enough to convict either defendant under the current law. The attorney general will have 3 weeks to release an opinion. According to the defense lawyer in the case, Robert Drakovich, he says that if the decision is made to throw the case out, that Nevada's marijuana laws could be struck down under the idea that they are constitutionally vague. Well, we'll keep an eye on this case and let you know how it unfolds.
Oh, my God. It just seems to defy logic, doesn't it? You know, okay, you got cancer? Oh, boy, that's terrible. We're so sad to hear that. But as a state, we've decided that, you know, as you're, you know, retching and puking from us putting radioactivity through your body to kill the cancer and pretty much everything else around it, and you're just violently heaving and in excruciating pain, and you're weak and just feeling like you'd like to die, well, we as a state have decided that you can go ahead and smoke pot. You can grow pot. You can have all the pot you like, and you can use that in order to ease those symptoms. Because we know, my God, cancer, that's terrible. I understand that you don't know how to grow pot, but you're allowed to have it. You can have pot. So if you manage to get any pot, you can have that poor suffering. What's that? You don't know anybody who has pot. You don't know where to get pot. Well, I'm sure, you know, somehow some pot will end up in your possession. And when it does, poor suffering cancer patient, well, you can go ahead and have what you'd like to, I'm sorry, buy pot? Oh, no. We can't have you buying pot. Why, that would be terrible. I mean, imagine, you might hand cash to somebody who has a good or service, and they might exchange it to you for that cash. Oh, no. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to suffer and puke and retch.
It's a pretty good way to put that. We delivered the news to you yesterday about the lowest priority enforcement voter initiative that passed with 65% of the vote in Kalamazoo, Michigan this week. On Tuesday's elections, were followed by a Wednesday news conference where the public safety chief, Jeff Hadley, said that the passage of the ballot measure will have no effect on the Kalamazoo Police Department because a change in the city charter can only address ordinances and that marijuana possession and use is still illegal under both state and federal law, which they will continue to enforce. Well, approximately 65% of the people that he works for took issue with that statement that was made less than 24 hours after the election. One voter was quoted as saying, "Wow, it really opens your eyes to the kind of country that we are leaving to our children when 65% of the voters pass something and the very next day the people who work for them come out and say, 'Screw you, your voice means nothing.'" And what do you think the founding fathers would have said about this? And is this democracy? Now, other opinion pieces are showing up in the local paper, and they have asked if Jeff Hadley may be abusing his power by showing a disrespect for the democratic process. Activists in the area are planning on showing up to a meeting next Wednesday with signs to stand outside a closed meeting at the Amway Grand in Grand Rapids, where the attorney general is having a closed meeting to talk with local officials and police about implementing laws and ordinances concerning marijuana. Now, that meeting is scheduled next Wednesday, November 16th at 9 a.m., and they ask that you dress warm.
Well,
since you'll be outside and not in the meeting.
That's right, right. News flash, when it comes to the war on drugs, yeah, our voices don't really mean a whole hell of a lot to these guys. Especially in law enforcement, these cops are trained from the first day that they're a rookie here, that they're evil, terrible dopers out there, the drug losers, the addicts, the scum, the bottom rung of society. They just associate marijuana. You're using marijuana, you're a loser, you're a slacker, you're a scumbag, we got to take you down. They've been inculcated since the beginning that this is part of that broken windows theory, that we've got to take care of this street level, low level vagrancy type crimes in order to prevent the big crimes. It's such a drug war mentality that they can't even see when 2 out of 3 people in the city vote to tell the police, "No, this is not important to us. We do not consider this a crime. It's not worth your time to go after." He can't even hear that. And unfortunately, based on the way the laws are written, he's absolutely right. He doesn't have to change a thing.
And here's another story we can tie into that lowest priority enforcement measures and the effects that they could have on communities. A story from the Daily Iowan caught my eye today. The budget numbers from the Iowa City Police show that they used $105,000 in federal funds to perform searches for marijuana along Interstate 80 in 2011. Now, that effort in the end netted them almost 21 pounds of marijuana from about 34 successful controlled substance stops and seizures. Advocates of cannabis law reform think that that money could be better spent. Carl Olson, the creator of iowamedicalmarijuana.org, says that it's time to hold legislatures accountable. If the priorities are out of line, you don't start at the bottom. He says you go right to their bosses. Police are standing by their decision to use that money to monitor Interstate 80, and they say that other drugs other than marijuana have been found throughout their efforts. Olson hopes that he can get interest up about starting a lowest priority initiative in his area. The Iowa City Police reported a total of 263 searches between June of 2010 and October. Iowa City is reapplying for that federal grant money to continue the effort.
You know, I just did a little quick calculation here. $105,000 they spent and what is to collect 21 pounds. Is that what you said?
It's actually less than 21.
Okay,
pounds.
Let's give them
it. And some of it, I was noticing they put a really low value on some of it. I think it was some of that brick weed, and they actually didn't price it as high quality weed. For once, I think it said about $3,000 worth of contraband collected.
Okay, so they spent $105,000 trying to get it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that works out to $5,000 a pound. Now, I have never bought a pound of weed in Iowa, but I think there are places where you can get weed. Just go out and buy it, and it would cost you less than $5,000 a pound, wouldn't it?
And a new initiative is making its way through the political process in California. It's not looking to legalize marijuana, but would like to take away the penalties for it. Bill Zimmerman, a political consultant from San Francisco, says that an extensive survey found that most Californians don't think anyone should go to jail over a marijuana crime, even if they're not quite ready to vote to legalize the substance. Part of what that we saw when voters decided to go against Prop 19 to outright legalize in the state. Now, on Tuesday, Secretary of State of California announced that Zimmerman's initiative, called the Reduce Marijuana Penalty Initiative, has the green light to begin to gather signatures. It would put a limit on the punishments you could receive for a marijuana crime of up to 2 ounces at $250 or the equivalent in community service if you didn't have the money. That would be for any marijuana offenses of possession, cultivation, sale, transportation, and that, again, up to 2 ounces. It retains the existing penalties for marijuana offenses on school grounds, involving sale to a minor, employment, or driving under the influence. But it makes property forfeiture laws inapplicable to any marijuana offenses. It also retains laws regarding marijuana in the workplace. And Zimmerman said his group spent a great deal of time and money on public opinion research to put this initiative up on the ballot. He was the campaign manager for Prop 215, and he decided to spend his time and energy this time extending decriminalization efforts because he feels 2012 is not the year for legalization. He wants to focus on 216.
Let's not wait any longer here. All right. First of all, I mean, anything that helps advance the cause is a good thing. Let's just put that out there right at the start. But decrims up to 2 ounces? Okay. An ounce of possession's already decrimmed, so we're just going to double that to 2. Okay. Up to 2 ounces of cultivation is decrimmed. Who cultivates less than 2 ounces? I mean, if you weigh the whole plant and everything, including the buds and the stalks and everything, like the cops would. So I don't see that how that helps very many people. Decrimming up the sale of up to 2 ounces. Now, that might be something because then somebody could, you know, start selling it. But then you couldn't possess more than 2 ounces to sell at any time. I don't know. Sounds like a muddled mess to me. All right, and speaking of muddled messes, like I am today, got to take a break. Still got a stuffy nose, but we've got something to take care of that. We'll be right back after this with your Groovin' Thursday music.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Har har! Because it's always smoking, matey. Har 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 har!
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
Pop Pass Records.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin from the John Doe Radio Show.
John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Hope all is well in the Normal Nation. I tried to hit a few oil hits, wax to be exact, before I started up this recording. Not the best idea. I know that. I should know that from Ganja John and Radical Russ Belleville's experience, but no, I went ahead and did it anyway. The call of the cannabis got me. Anyway, moving on to the song of the day from Facebook, Chewy. That's where I found this artist, from Facebook. So Facebook becoming more than just that Write On It and Wine network. Born in San Antonio, Texas, Chewy has been rapping for 8 years. So you can hear me. That's what the wax will do with you. He's been rapping for 8 years, influenced by his mother and many great MCs like Jay-Z, Outkast. I guess his mother
was a great MC with that. No. She was obviously influenced by his mother and then other great MCs like himself, including Jay-Z, Outkast, UGK, and more. Chewy blends the borders of the underground, backpack hip-hop, and mainstream rap. During the first years of his career, people tried discouraging him by saying music wasn't for him. Like a lot of artists, probably, negativity hasn't slowed him a bit, doing shows opening for Mista Fab, Rakim, and Rhymefest in L.A. and all over California. The negativity only fueling his fire. Chewy becoming one of the best well-known talents throughout Northern California. Make sure you check out him online. You can find that address by going to stash.normal.org. There you can find all the postings for the songs. I am John Doe. Until we meet again, more hash hits for me, a tune for you. See ya.
It's like 4 in the morning. I just got here. There's no weed. It's crazy. I'm recording in the bathroom. Be cool.
Please.
Standing on stage like 500 peeps, getting high, and they love the way I rhyme when I speak. They love the way I'm riding on the beat. The same way I'm moving backpacking when I'm riding through the streets. Six niggas deep when we riding in a Jeep with a bong on blunt, nigga puff puff chief. Puff puff pass with the cuts on blast, fucking up rotation, yeah, dumb fuck ass. So far gone, they be dumb fuck last. How we all roll hard like clutched in gas. Smash, see me on the app, I see you online, niggas ain't about cash. Top notch hoes, give me haze, ring hash. Cushion and bong, burn slow, make it last. Chick finna choose, she want a nigga bad. Hump, hump, pass to the left, ass tag. And you can even ask Black Tag. Burn, hit the booth, and I'm finna make classics. Hustle hard, never coming in last. Another 2 years, and I'm riding in a Jag. Another 20 minutes, and I'm picking up Mo. Another dope beat from my nigga J-Lo. Another nigga on the come up like J. Cole. Eyes real low, while I'm riding on foes.
Stop the weed. Break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down.
You should already know, like a nigga done told ya. In the ride and I'm picking up Doja. Eyes lower than they usually are, and I'm hoping that the law don't pull a nigga over. Drive on the side of the shoulder. Another sesh, they inviting me over. Break hard, take a right on Folsom. Going southbound, hella lit, explosive. West coasting. Been a rolling up a blue for the freestyle. Nigga get focused, choking. Baby doll can't handle the draw, hoping that I ain't noticed, huh? Blunt number 3, my boy got planes full of Kush OG. My girl got green crack by the OZ. When I leave here tonight, I'ma probably OD.
Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down, roll it up, smoke a blunt. Cop the weed, break it down.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
All right, welcome back, everyone. On the second and fourth Thursdays of the month, we like to speak to members from LEAP, and you can find more about LEAP at leap.cc on the internet or at copsaylegalizeddrugs.com. And joining us today is a former Connecticut police officer, Captain Joe Brooks. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And may I say to you, happy birthday, sir.
Thank you for that, too.
I'll tell you, Shailene out there at LEAP, she's got the data on everybody, and she wanted to wish you a happy birthday as well.
I received that, and I appreciate it.
Well,
proud of the fact that it's the same day as the Marine Corps.
Oh, that's right. Semper Fi, a happy birthday to the Marine Corps, all our Marines that have served so honorably this country. Thank you very much for your service, and happy birthday to the Corps. Let's talk about your experiences as a Connecticut police officer and now a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. What brought you, what was the path that brought you to LEAP?
Well, I'll tell you this, Russ. Back in 1980, long before it was politically correct, I made up my mind, based on the things that I had read and seen, that this country was not, per se, actually fighting drugs. And based on those readings, I came to the conclusion that we were not going to make the effort and that we should, in fact, stop making any false efforts or promises, and to learn something from the prohibition of alcohol, and have since then believed that the war on drugs is a dismal failure.
And during your time serving as a police, actually, what time did you serve as a police officer? What era?
I came on in 1964 and retired in 1994.
Yeah, now that fascinates me because by coming on at 64, you're joining as a rookie cop before we see the real rise in the marijuana culture in the later 60s, the Summer of Love generation and all of that. And then you get to be serving through the Nixon administration and the actual creation, the genesis of this war on drugs, through Reagan, where it really got ramped up. What was that like, and how did it change your job as a police officer?
Well, until 1985, we really had no concerted effort here in my community to fight drugs. they weren't that large of a problem here in Manchester. At that point in time, we started to see an influx of dealers and users. And as a result of that, we also noticed that there was a displacement in that drugs were moving from one community to another, if in fact we did make any effort at all. So we combined with two adjacent police departments and formed the very first municipal drug task force, which we named Tri-Town.
Mm-hmm. Now, did it feel like as this drug war ramped up past 1985 that it was diverting away from other police work that you'd rather be doing or leading to more crime in any way?
Absolutely. We had committed a number of our officers to work primarily, if not only, on the drug problem as it was seen by the community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're speaking with Captain Joe Brooks, who's a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition and a retired Connecticut police officer of, what was it, about 30 years that you served then?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so and as this was happening, as the years are going by and you're seeing more influx of drugs and more police resources dedicated to it, I mean, obviously you've made this determination now that it's kind of for naught and it's really not working and causing more harm. But as it was happening, were police officers like yourself recognizing that it wasn't the drugs, it was the prohibition of them?
I believe that a number of police officers, and I think that proves itself now with the membership of LEAP, came to that conclusion. However, we were mandated by the fact that we were police officers carrying a badge and mandated to enforce the law that we had to go ahead and do what we were mandated to do, regardless of how we felt personally about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get that when we speak to a lot of the officers is that, you know, we hear, well, we don't make the laws, we just enforce them. We just have to go out and enforce the laws. And yet, when it comes to trying to change these laws, as marijuana law reformers, as medical marijuana people will tell you, a lot of times we get law enforcement in the state house in uniform lobbying against the changing of these laws. So that it kind of seems hypocritical when I hear police officers say that, you know, that, well, they just made the laws and we had to go do our job. When we try to change them, they seem to be wanting to make the laws. So how do we change that? How do we get police officers to not try to influence us changing these drug laws?
I think that that's happening now, Russ. If you are mm-hmm. aware of the fact that the Black Officers Association,
mm-hmm. yes.
which of course is a national organization, and the Latino Officers Association, again a national association, have come out in favor of legalization. So I believe you're seeing now that there is a swing toward our feelings about what should be done with the drug laws mm-hmm. on the part of the police officers. Why do some oppose it? If you're aware of the fact that they like to lay out the drugs across the table and the guns and the money and get the headlines that are associated with those kinds of things, maybe that will tell you, you know, why they oppose it.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And so many different incentives to continue the drug war, from the federal grants that are given, the burn grants that are happening, the asset forfeiture that goes on. And then, like you mentioned, the glory angle, just being able to get that, the more budget and more attention. So many things to have to unravel here, Captain Joe Brooks. And I'm just wondering, as we move forward with LEAP and you're going out and you're speaking to these different civic groups and people out there in the general public, what are some of the fears that you hear from the public when, in response to your message of legalizing?
Russ, it's the same fears that have been flying around for years and years, and they primarily seem to come from people in the political arena, the gateway drug theory that has been around for years, the fact that the entire population of the United States is going to walk around high on marijuana, which has been around for years and years. The same types of fears without any foundation that had been around for years.
But how do we, that's the thing, is we have the facts on our side. We can show them that these kind of fears are unfounded. But when it comes to emotion, sometimes facts don't work. Do we have a counter emotional argument that we can use?
I believe that education is going to overcome the psychological fears that are attached to drugs of all kinds, and of course primarily marijuana, because it's the most talked about one, and that that is what we are trying to do. Mm-hmm. LEAP is trying to educate the general population as to the facts of the issue rather than the emotional attachment that so many people put on it.
I imagine over a 30-year career of policing that you had to have made many drug arrests. And as these arrests were happening, I imagine that some of the people, probably in not the greatest of circumstances, but others may be doing well, and the only thing that they did wrong was get caught. So how did were there any arrest stories? Were there any people? Was there an incident or two where you arrested someone and went, wow, this is a mistake. This person doesn't deserve this kind of treatment, despite the fact you have to do your job, of course. But was there a personal story in there in that 30-year career that made you kind of question what you were doing?
There were many stories, Russ. In 1985, when we formed the Triton, I was the captain in charge of the detective division and in charge of the narcotics task force. Some of the very few first arrests that we made rounded up people who were friends and neighbors of mine, people that I knew well, and realized that these were not criminals. These were not people that should be in a jail cell. These were not people who were out committing crimes, etc., that they were average, decent human beings that for whatever reason they were using marijuana, which in fact did not mean that they should be arrested and have a criminal record lodged against them pretty much for the rest of their life.
Yeah, very well put. And again, we're speaking with Captain Joe Brooks from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, copsaylegalizeddrugs.com or just leap.cc for the website. You can book speakers like Joe, like others out there with all sorts of different backgrounds. There's a LEAP speaker in your area. Just check out leap.cc. We have time for another question, and this one comes from our chat room, and I think it's a real good question here. And it asks, having been on the front lines of the drug war, you know, being a police officer, you're kind of out there enforcing the drug laws. Has this unfolded the way you expected? I mean, did you ever expect to see military raids and SWAT teams and the extent that it's gone to, or did you see this coming?
I did not realize that it would come to exactly what it is now. And what I mean by that, Russ, is I didn't think that we'd see SWAT teams breaking into private homes. I know that guns were found quite often in our own raids here, and that at some point in time the guns and the violence would escalate. To the degree that it has escalated, no, I did not see that coming, but neither did I see the terroristic aspect of the street gangs that are peddling the drugs.
Yeah, No kidding. Yeah,
they're bottom line the distribution arm of the cartels. And in my estimation, that makes them as terroristic as the cartels are currently down in Mexico, where they've killed over 40,000 people.
Yeah, it's a slaughter going on down there, and more Americans should be informed of it. Captain Joe Brooks from LEAP, I appreciate you being on the show and for all the service you gave. And again, happy birthday to you and to the Marine Corps. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have some time for a little bit of radical ranting. We're going to talk about the new partnership with Weed Maps and Normal and some people's complaints about it. Right back after this.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Play more, play more.
Just Say No.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z guide to stoner language and life at Amazon.com or visit potculturebook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
You chipping.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, it's Lively Libra and
Mr. Libra.
And we are hosts of the Libra Lounge. Which can be heard on this network at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, or find replays and all other information at thelibralounge.com.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be: easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, there's been a change at normal.org. If you've been over to our website, you've seen it, and that is a new integration with weedmaps.com. If you've never been to weedmaps.com, it's basically a dispensary listing service. You can type in your zip code, or you can have it geolocate to you, and it helps you find the listings of dispensaries and what their strains are and what their potencies are, etc. It's just a big bulletin board, basically, for people in the marijuana industry, in the medical marijuana industry, California, Colorado, all over, basically. You can check it out for yourself. Well, anyway, we've integrated with weedmaps.com, and they supplied some back-end website development for us and linked us in with their mapping technology and so forth. So there's an integration here. And of particular note to people is at the very bottom of the website, there's a footer that has links to the other Weed Maps websites. Now, it's very gray and faded. It's down there, but it's down there. It's noticeable. You can go to these other Weed Maps locations. Well, this has caused some people in the marijuana community to complain about this, that Normal should be completely sacrosanct, should be, untouched by advertising money. Despite the fact that every drug law reform group out there is taking some form of advertising, Google ads, we're taking Google ads. I mean, this is part of how we generate revenue streams in the nonprofit world, right? Get donations and stuff like that. I don't see it as a big problem necessarily. But anyway, some people have been complaining about this, and I wanted to do some research and kind of address some of these complaints. And I want to say, first of all, I address these complaints as Radical Russ, okay? This is not the official Normal response to any of this stuff, but as an opinion guy, it's my job to give opinions. So first thing I want to address is the fact that there was a story in the Wall Street Journal. Excuse me a moment. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal when Weed Maps first came out. This was in 2009. And let me just give you the quote from it, because this was quoted in one of the forums. Justin Hartfield, who started Weed Maps, says it has grown quickly to about $20,000 in monthly revenue, half from ads. The rest comes from referring people to doctors who recommend pot. Mr. Hartfield bills the doctors $20 for each payment he sends them. The American Medical Association ethics code says payments for referrals are unethical. Mr. Hartfield says the doctors are keenly aware of the ethics issue and consider their payments not to be fees, fees for referral, but advertising fees that change every month. Mr. Hartfield, the Weed Maps impresario, has a doctor's recommendation for marijuana, quote, to ease my anxiety and help with my insomnia, end quote. Mr. Hartfield says the MedPot system is really just a way of legalizing marijuana for anyone who wants to smoke. He says his anxiety and insomnia isn't really serious enough to require treatment. I'm fine. I don't really have it, he says. The medical system is a total farce. I'm an example of that. It just needs to be legal. Now, that has generated a lot of complaints where people saying, oh, no, I use medical marijuana. It helps me. It treats me. Yeah, right. I would like to note that what he said was, the medical system is a total farce. Now, I don't know what may have given him the idea that the medical system is a total farce. I mean, you just look over here and you can see some of the scenes that I've seen at the various medical events in California. A little taped up sign, get your medical cannabis cards here. Cannabis is misspelled. A couple of young ladies there in crop tops and boy booty hugger shorts out at a Prop 215 area giving people medical information. There's a pole dancer at one of the events there, pole dancer at one of the medical marijuana expos going on in California. And we have another, this is the 12 foot long vapor bag being inhaled because that's so very medical there. So yes, the medical system, especially in California, is a farce. It is a way people are using marijuana to smoke recreationally. Do not pee on my leg and tell me it is raining. I have been to too many of these events. Now, saying that does not say that medical marijuana itself is not medical. Of course marijuana is medical. And of course there are people out there who desperately need it to survive and to live. That's not what the man was saying. Now, to continue on, another offense that apparently the Weed Maps impresario made was making a video. We got a reporter, allegedly, who wanted to ask a few questions, and the first complaint was his video on how to make $1,000 a day in the cannabis industry. And this was a YouTube video that was up for a while, and the video's down now. We can't get a copy of it. But I got somebody to basically quote it for me, and basically the quote was along the lines of, if you were dead broke and wanted to get into the medical marijuana business right now and make the most amount of money for the least amount of effort, what would you do? Well, I figure I would drive up from SoCal to Mendo and drive down some random Humboldt dusty driveway long enough. I'll be able to find a marijuana farm. And then I'd buy a few pounds of grade A outdoor NorCal bud off the farmer for $3,000 a pound. Or maybe I'd trim some bud for a week or two in exchange for a few pounds of bud. I'd then drive that marijuana to Southern California, bust out my Weed Maps iPhone app, find some dispensary in the valley, claim it was 100% indoor and organic, and sell it at $4,000 a pound. If I drove down further toward San Diego and Orange County, I might even be able to get a little bit more for it. So, Chubbs, I'd say the fastest way to get rich quick in the medical marijuana business is to have the balls to smuggle giant horse trailers every day from Mendo to L.A. like many families up north have been doing for generations. So, seems to me this video, the thing that's so offensive about it is it told the truth about what people are currently doing in California in the medical marijuana system that has been described as a farce. All right? Saying that you can take something from outdoor and just give it to some dispensary and claim it's organic and they'll go ahead and buy it from you? He's criticizing the dispensary system that has no regulation or controls to determine what it is they're bringing in here. So, yeah, so newsflash, people go up north, buy weed, and they sell it down south. Yes, that is what's happening. And then another complaint here was something about representatives making unannounced visits to their clients. Like when you take out an ad, the person you took out an ad with visited your place to see whether or not your place was what it said it was. Woo, shocking. That's terrible. Demanding more money lest the Weed Maps ad be removed. Like, you mean like when you buy a month-to-month ad on a radio station, and then when that radio station suddenly gets more ratings, they raise the price of their ads, and if you want to keep your ad on the radio station that's now giving you more impressions, more listeners, you have to pay more, or they take your ad off the radio? You mean like that? You mean like when Weed Map started off, it didn't get a tenth or a thousandth of the hits it's getting now, and so as it gets more hits, they charge more? Is that what we mean? Removing bad comments from a client only after they pay more money. Well, again, if I have a website with a blog and there's comments on it I don't like, but if I don't pay my web hosting fee, they lock my password out and I can't get in there and change that. Price hikes. okay, don't like price hike? Don't do business with them. This is America, man. You can have price hikes. You can charge more for your service, especially if it's a great service. I mean, it's not a constitutionally protected right of free speech that somebody who runs a private business that lists dispensaries has to take your listing and has to tell everybody what it is here. And then what is it here? Let me see if I get this. The coercion of the testing results. Here's another complaint that if you want to get your dispensary listed on Weed Maps, you have to go through SC Labs, which is the place that is partnered with Weed Maps, right? It's like their own laboratory. It's like where they're going to partner with. So let me get this straight. But first, let me unplug my iPod from my iPod dock docked into the iPad that's downloading the iTunes download of a new Apple app. I'm sorry. It sounds to me as if you were saying a private company set some sort of proprietary standard where you had to use only the services or goods manufactured by their partners. Is that what you're telling me? Because that's what Apple's doing. That's what lots of businesses do. And again, this is America. If you think that's a bad practice, don't do business with them. Get your friends together and start another listing service that will take any old lab. This is what I would call a little bit of quality control. There's no standards for cannabis testing. There is no government regulation that says all laboratories must adhere to X, Y, or Z standard. So if you're somebody who wants to guarantee you have the best, most accurate listings, it would behoove you to find what you would consider to be the best, most accurate lab and go with that and require all the listings to come from one source so you can guarantee the consistency of that source. Only makes sense to me. And, what's the other thing? How could you be partnering with an organization that is only committed to safer, more responsible cannabis when they're making a dime off the testing? Weed Maps is a private business that lists dispensaries, and the dispensaries that list get tested at SC to give their potency. But I don't recall anything in this that said no dispensary out there ever may use any other testing service, and they may never advertise that in any other way with anybody else. This guy is acting as if Weed Maps is some public utility here that you must do the public service of showing everybody what the proper potency is here. They're a business. They can run it like a business. You want regulations that determine that dispensaries have to have accurate listings of potency and stuff like that? Go get those regulations then. Go to the city councils. Go to the Sacramento. Get those kind of regulations put in place. What's the other one here? This is the thing. I guess the whole thing breaks down to this to me. It amazes me how many people in our community, in our marijuana community, are so quick to jump on the conspiracy train on how somebody, that guy out there and those people out there, when it comes to medical marijuana, if anybody's making a buck, They're doing it on the backs of patients. They're trying to rip people off. They're trying to scam people. They're trying to scam patients off medical. Everybody's a ripoff artist in medical marijuana, except your grower, except your dispensary. Oh, no, my dispensary is Compassionate Caregivers of America, and they're doing it just out of the goodness of their heart, and they're only charging $15 a gram because that's what it really costs to get that medicine to me. Uh-huh, right. Look here. If you want to have reliable standards, you go for legalization, you get this legal for everyone. And of all the companies out there, all of these people that are supposedly, making a buck off of patients, right? That are all these people that are supposedly out there helping patients and out there, who's out there donating to legalization? How many of these organizations are donating to Normal, to MPP, to DPA, to Safer? Maybe some donations to ASA, too, since it's in specifically your particular area. So here's a company that steps up and wants to help out Normal, wants to help us out and give us great back-end database stuff and recollect all of our website stuff in exchange for a little links at the bottom, which will be reciprocated, by the way. That was another complaint. There's these links for Weed Maps all over the Normal site and no links back to Normal. Those are coming, folks. They'll be there. Just hold on to your horses here. In short, let me just say, Weed Maps is not taking over Normal. Normal is still its own nonprofit organization with its own board of directors. All this is just what everyone out there is doing right now as well, trying to survive in a bad economy, getting advertising revenue. And to think that Weed Maps as a business is some sort of terrible, unethical thing for just admitting the truth of what's going on in California, that just shocks me. Hey, we'll talk more about this in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. You can call me and disagree if you like. It's 971-533-7111. No show tomorrow. They'll just be best of. I'll be flying to Atlanta. We'll be back on Monday for a full show. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hang it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.